record as well.
Oh, we're going, aren't we? Right. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Talking Touring. And I'm sorry to say, but this is the final episode of season one of Talking Touring. However, it's not all bad news, is it, Liam?
We're coming back, baby!
Hey, season two! Ooh, 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 ooh.
That was beautiful to watch.
Yeah. That's right, our wonderful friends out there. Firstly, I want to say a massive thank you to Liam for being my buddy and coming on this journey with us to do series one and make Talking Touring the greatest touring podcast in the world. Liam, thank you for being there.
You're very welcome, mate. The pleasure is literally all mine.
I know. Yeah, I've been great. So.
You have been fantastic. Thank you very much as well for ringing me in a panic about 3 months ago, and yelling, let's do a podcast at me. I'll be home in 20 minutes.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of our good ideas happen like that, where it's just like, fuck it, let's go.
I wouldn't call them all good ideas, but yeah, I think fair. It's where a lot of our ideas start.
Yes, yeah, very much so.
Good is a subjective term, to be honest. But that is generally where it starts.
Yeah, so we've been lucky enough to talk to 20 of our friends. And we didn't know all of them. And we've had
some people that we didn't know as well. Some people who are now our friends that we hadn't met before.
Yeah. And we are thankful to every single one of you that's tuned in and hooked us up with a friend or come on the show. Big shout out to you. Big shout out to Standby Clothing for being there since episode 3, supporting us and being kind to us and offering support to our friends and family. And that's you lot. You get 10% off at TT10 at checkout. Don't forget. Big shout out to everyone that's been there since day dot. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. What a bunch of fucking legends. What a bunch of fucking legends. Because we're moving to a new season, we're going to do a little bit of a shift around, bit of a change, spring clean, you might say, of the format. It's still going to be a podcast. We're not going to change that. That's fine. You can still listen to it. But we're going to move it. I think we did 20 episodes this season. That's a lot for a season. Don't you reckon, Craig?
100%. The amount of people that have said that they can't keep up with it is...
I mean, when you've got fucking fire content flying out at the internet...
It's disappointing that people aren't keeping up at the pace that we're delivering it. And for those of you that are still on episode 7, when you get here, you suck and it took you too long to get here. All right?
So we're going to go down to like 10 episodes a season, I think.
Yeah.
Which feels like a good round number. That's an achievable amount of guests to talk to as well. And I think we can kind of focus in on having like a really good quality of guests as well. Not that we had no bad quality guests in our last season, but we are very quickly running out of friends to pester to come on this fucking podcast. So we probably need to space it out a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly. We already have some really exciting names coming up in season two. In fact,
we do.
Our first episode is someone that plays in my favourite band of all time. So I'm excited about that. And if you're not there, you're square.
Yeah.
That's all I've got.
Yeah, we have got some fantastic guests lined up. We've already kind of started recording it. I don't know when we're going to start releasing them. There's probably going to be a little bit of a break so we can have a little breather. And we're going to go to Fort Lightly. That's not how you say that word. Fortnightly. Every 2 weeks,
yeah,
we will release an episode rather than every week. Because again, like the main feedback that we've had from a lot of people is like, we just can't fucking keep up with how quickly it's putting out. Mm. So for all you fucking losers out there, we'll slow it down for you.
But I think also like it's life is not Corona lockdown anymore. Starting to look a bit like normality, which we're super happy for, which means fresh new stories.
As much as I hate to admit it, we are not the center of the universe, Craig.
What?
There is, now that we're coming out of lockdown, people aren't confined to their houses. So they aren't just going to be entertained by you and me talking shit to each other. Well, I'd hope they are, but they're probably going to look for something a bit more visually stimulating in their lives as well.
Man, we got 12 followers this week. We are absolutely
winning
at this. Anyway, without further ado, no more fucking cussing all of our lovely followers. What we did want to do this episode was actually answer some of the questions that we have coming up in series two. And we want to answer some of the questions that have popped up over the last 20 episodes of Talking Tory and let you guys into the brains of Craig and Liam Sexton.
Let you behind the curtain, take you backstage of the mind, you know.
We're giving you VIP access to Talking Tory.
VIP access to my cranium. Inside the mind of the mind.
Oh, it's a crazy mind. Good, it's good. So what are we, how are we going to do this, Liam? Like, everyone knows who you are. Everyone knows who I am. So I didn't write down any of the questions we were talking about before this, so I'm going to let you go first.
Of course you didn't, because you're not prepared like I am.
Hey, my name is Peter Prepped. Right,
Peter Pratt.
I've got a whole fucking booklet here of
that's unrelated... just a page full of dicks.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Just a page full of nothing. No,
I think we'll start actually. We'll start by asking you, have you got a favorite piece of advice that came from one of our guests over the last 20 episodes that you were like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna take that on board, or I'm gonna pass that along to other people when I interact with them face to face.
I 100% do, and it's one that I definitely was aware of, and it's popped up a lot, and that is just the not getting super pissed off at everything, and I don't ever think I was a dickhead on tour, but to know that when it all when it all feels like everyone's pulling apart from each other, I can just step back and not get annoyed by it and just be like, there are more than just me that give a shit about it being a good vibe. Like, the majority of people out there are there because they want to have a good time. They're not trying to be difficult. They could be having a bad day or anything.
Yeah, definitely.
But advice-wise, there was so much good advice. That was the thing. Every little nugget of advice from every episode was invaluable. Don't be a dick was the main one, though. And
that's overarching. That's pretty much what we got told by every single person that we spoke to over these 20 episodes was, don't be a dick.
Yeah. It literally as simple as that. And for me, that was it. And I think we even said that right at the start. Like, it was like, there's a few little parameters that you get to get a gig. And that, the main one is not being a twat.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think my favorite piece was from Derek Zanetti, which was, there will always be more drugs. Like,
you don't have to go out all the time.
Yeah. You don't need to party 24/7. You don't need to do that shit. You know, enjoy yourself. I think what was he saying is, you know, say your prayers, take the drugs, drink the beers, but make sure you have some sleep.
Yeah.
So that you can be prepared and display your art to people while you're on the road, because that's what you're there for, which I think is something that people get caught up in a lot, the whole rock and roll lifestyle. And it's easy to get caught up in it. But just take it easy. Take it easy. And I think kind of like Chris Johnson said a similar thing, not along the same lines, but kind of had a point of saying, you know, be mindful of where you are and what you're doing. Like, don't just fucking disappear to a stranger's house in fucking Kiev without telling anyone where you're going.
Yeah.
You fucking idiot. Be careful. Look after yourself.
But he also, like, the other thing that came up a lot, and like Chris again, like, was saying so much stuff about kind of being grateful for where you are. Like, we all could be doing a plethora of shit jobs, but we still get to travel the world and we still get to do all these things that are difficult and can be tough. But what's the other option sometimes? Like, I think I need to step back. I need to step away from myself sometimes and just look at it and kind of go, fucking hell. Like, yeah, that person's a dickhead, but I'm not going to let that ruin the greater experience of doing this awesome show in Prague or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. At the end, with that kind of outlook, at the end of the day, that person is going to be a little funny footnote that you tell a story to someone else back home over a pint.
Yeah.
They're not that important, really, are they?
Yeah. And I genuinely think Talking Touring has given me the ability to hopefully laugh at those situations in the future. And I've been lucky enough to go back and do some work on site this week. And one of the people said to me on site, because I was just being myself, they were like, I really like your rock and roll attitude to this. And I was just like, it's not a rock and roll attitude. It's just like, I'm not going to be spoken to like shit. And I'm going to tell people if they're being shit. And it's like, I don't think that's rude. It's just part of a conversation. It's part of trying to, I don't know, that sounds like I'm just going around just cussing people, but that's not the case.
It's definitely what it sounds like. I know what you mean, though. I think the difference is that those kind of were like more corporate jobs, right?
Yeah, well, they were theatery corporate jobs. So yeah. It's a different environment completely.
I find that the people who work in the corporate world and the theatre world take less kindly to being called a cunt, affectionately. They take it to heart quite quickly rather than...
Well, they absolutely love it and they're just like, oh, you call me a cunt. Yeah, I did. You know why?
Yeah, so I think it's a different type of dialogue, isn't it? It's like you talk about with a theatre or corporate job against like a touring job. It's a different way of interacting with people. What might be considered as like brash or rude in a corporate world is simply just a direct message of, I need this done, or you need to get that done, or can you do this for me? It's a different vocabulary, I think, is the issue.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What would you say was your favourite can't live without item that one of our guests told us?
My favourite one that like actually nearly made me spit my fucking tea out when we were recording it was Hannah Gill's snot rag.
Oh, yes, the snot rag episode.
I just like...
golden.
It was a wonderful conversation. It was great, like, because I hadn't met her before. You knew her really well. I'd seen her work on YouTube and things, and I'd seen her work with Postmodern Jukebox. And I just was not expecting, you know, like... a very well put together like jazz singer to be like, oh yeah, snot rags. It's not everywhere. I'm always fucking leaking from my nose. I was like, what the fuck is this? But yeah, that was definitely my favorite item. I've changed my item as well, by the way, that I'm taking on tour.
Oh yeah, what is it now?
Because printer was very boring and I completely forgot that I always carried my JBL speaker with me on tour.
The little flashy light thing. It's so good.
Yeah. I'm changing it to that because it's nice to have, like, in a production office, I mean, for me anyway, like, not silence.
I can't cope with silence. Yeah.
Hate it. Especially when, like, the band's gone on stage and everyone's out doing their thing and you're just kind of finishing up bits and pieces and being sat there in silence. I fucking hate it. So, like, that. And it's also, like, a nice little ambience in the room as well for when people come in and out, have a little bit of music.
I would say it makes it more approachable as well.
Definitely.
In fact, that reminds me, Simon saying that like getting the aromas and having like a nice smelling production office is still, that's something that I've even got in my touring pelly prepped. I've actually got a 2204 candle ready to go. Like, it's just there now. I bought one, put it in my pelly case.
I love it, man. It's so fucking good. It's so good.
It's brilliant. That's another one. Ladies and gentlemen, please go out there and support that. They are fantastic candles. They're super, super tasty.
Fully recyclable.
Yeah.
Made with soy wax, like super good for the environment. Handmade, handcrafted. Fucking check it out.
Yeah.
They're fucking sick. They are absolutely sick. 2204candles.com, I think it is.
I think so, yeah.
Probably. But yeah, that was another good one. And that's something that I always really enjoyed with working with Simon. I said to him on his episode was sitting in an office with Simon is a joy because it smells so good all the time.
Yeah.
And like he said, it's a fucking great conversation starter and an anger stopper at the door because people might come in thinking all guns fucking blazing and then get hit in the face with a bit of patchouli and be like, what the fuck is going on in here?
Can't be angry with that, can you?
Yeah. exactly. It changes the atmosphere entirely and it gets people on side. So
I've just pulled up Spotify now and I was just thinking like every single episode has had some amazing bits of advice. Like, I remember one of the stories that I loved the most was in Julia's episode when she was saying about the merchandise situation with being on stage and watching someone move their merch. And it's just like, that audacity, and we that came up as a question for quite a few of our guests, where it's just like, have you experienced that? And it's shocking the amount of people that have experienced something of a similar nature, where people just have like a headline act or someone higher up a bill has complete disregard for a lower band's fucking property.
Yeah. I get that there's like, you know, there's a hierarchy to things, but of like, course. Come on. Everyone's here for the same fucking reason.
It's a matter of respect at that stage, in my opinion.
Like, I've never really liked the idea of forcing a support band to price match to a headline band, suggesting that, like, because they're cheaper, they're going to be the favourable option. That's not the case. Like, if anything, if you're in a position to be taking out bands that you really love on tour and, you know, you're making a decent amount of money in your guarantees, you're making profit on the overages, so, you know, you're doing okay with your merch, you should embrace that someone else is trying to do what you were doing.
Absolutely.
Reach this position. You know, I've worked with some bands who have been like, you know what, don't buy our shit on stage, and just said, this is the band, go and speak to them. Yeah. Go and buy their shit. Like, buy their shit and I'll sign it. I don't care, but just buy their fucking shit. And it works a fucking wonder. But I've seen some fucking... And it happens in like... It's mostly like... I think like rock, pop punk and punk and stuff, where it's like you have to price match. But I've seen shit like you know... I mean, I'm not going to name any names, but big like punk bands selling hoodies for like 50 fucking quid. And asking like a support band to do the same thing. It's like, that's the only way they're making their cash, man. That's the only way they're going to get to the next venue is if they sell enough to put in the fucking tank.
Yeah, I remember getting into it with the tour manager before because they had told me that the headline band had done exactly that. And like they had a whole truck full of merch and they were shifting so much. And it was just like they said we had to match and I just refused. Like, I was like, we can't. Like we're better off going out to the trailer and selling from there. And I think we did a bit of both. And we did great business out the back because I think the band even said on stage, like, come out to the bus area or like we'll hook you up after. Because you've got to make it work, haven't you?
Yeah. That was eye opening to hear that other people have had similar issues throughout their career. But I mean, this industry is very small, as we saw with the Kat Myers episode, in that me and her had met fucking years ago and completely forgotten about it until we were reintroduced again. But it's quite a small industry and things like that are probably quite commonplace for just about fucking everyone, I suppose.
Yeah. I'm so fucking What was your
here's a tough question for you.
Oh, go on then.
Who was your favourite episode?
I was just about to fucking ask you that, you bastard.
Ah, I got it in before you prick.
I've got quite a few. I really, really, really...
Well, I didn't ask you for a few.
No, all right. Well, I'm going to give you three.
I wanted one.
I genuinely, like we've said before, I love doing every single one of these. And some of them come with a bit more prep and some of them come with a bit less prep and some of them like the conversation flows a lot better. But the one I had most fun with and laughed the most with was probably either Jay from Kensmith.
That was a good one.
Devin John episode.
Yeah.
Or Casey Abrams episode, or I can't do this, man. I'm fucking like just looking through the lift, and like I was laughing at like my tits off in all of them. Like the Chris number two one, that was great, just reminiscing about nearly killing a French barman. Like that was fucking great, laughing with Si like for like an hour. But even like our independent venue week one, that one was great. Like just having a giggle with everyone.
That one was good, considering like we just kind of threw it together very much last minute and got in touch with some venues and had them on to come and talk to us about their struggles and their strifes. And it was quite nice to be able to shine that kind of light on it.
Yeah.
Great. But the one I most enjoyed, definitely, I felt was like our turning point, I think, was with Simon Gallagher.
Yeah.
I feel like if you know Simon Gallagher, it's impossible not to have a good conversation with that man because he's just so fucking positive all the time and he's got plenty to talk about. He brought
the best out in us.
That's what I mean. I think what we were doing before was great. But I think when we got into Simon's episodes, he brought something to the table that we both responded very well to. And I think that episode was our like, right, we know what we're doing now. We've got it. Yeah. We're in, you know, which is great. And then I was also really surprised about by the Chris Johnson episode, because I was incredibly nervous to do that one.
Yeah. Yeah, you were because really nervous. I wasn't nervous. I was just really, I didn't want to feel, I didn't want to ask those stupid questions, but then I genuinely feel by the end of that lesson, by the end of that podcast.
After that lecture.
Yeah, after that lecture. No, after that episode, I felt like I had a new friend.
Absolutely.
I was speaking to the guys at MPA Management and just being like, Chris is great. And it was just like, when he's around, like we swap numbers and stuff, and it's like, we will hang out, like, definitely. And that's so wonderful that managed to happen. And then, I'm sorry, just fucking bouncing around like a madman here. JD, the slam dunk episode.
That was great
so
as well.
Much.
Yeah. Because slam dunk's been a staple event for me to go to as a punter, and also for you to work at. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, but Craig just front of house for basically every single fucking bandit slam dunk over the weekend usually. But yeah, it was amazing to sit down and chat with him and find out a little bit more about him, and also now be able to drop his name and get some fucking guest list the next one.
Sort it out, JD, come on. We joked about it at the end of the Chris Johnson episode that we will be headlining Glastonbury within a few years, and you're all welcome to come to that. But I do think, JD, you've got an opportunity here to actually give us a chance to get there.
Get you in on the ground floor, mate. We'll do a good deal.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Don't sit on it for too long, pal.
It was a surprising episode. Like I said, with the Chris one, I was nervous, but only because it was like someone completely new in a part of the industry that neither of us really work in. And it was like, this has come through management. This is his electronic press kit. This is all like the stuff. And it was like, oh God, this is like actual fucking press. What the fuck? Yeah. Like, I'm not a fucking journalist. I don't want to be a journalist. It felt like it could have gone in that direction.
Yeah.
But chatting to him, and you know, you listen to the episode, and clearly he wasn't expecting that kind of like press conversation anyway. So we just kind of got on with it, which was
it was just a nice hang, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But then also another one of my favorite ones was the Tarrant episode, because Tarrant is so finger on the pulse on an industry which I feel I know a lot about, but nowhere near as much as him. Like, I know about bus doors, I know about driving regulations, I know about carnets, I know about cabotage, but someone like him who is living, breathing, and he makes a very successful business about that thing, he's just so knowledgeable and passionate about it. It was so nice to just talk to him about it, even though in the episode we didn't really talk about any of that shit, but I thought he was incredible.
Yeah, that was really good. And it's helped us, I think, as well, widen our network and talk to some people that we wouldn't have usually spoken to, which is amazing.
Absolutely.
What a joy.
The thing about that, like the Colette episode, like I hadn't spoken to Colette for a year or so, and it was just so nice to chat to my friend. It was just great.
And that was
a wicked episode.
Big shout out to Blossoms as well for their recent non-social distance, no masked live gig at Sefton Park, which, I mean, looking at the information I've been sent about it, seems like it went pretty fucking well.
The pictures look amazing. If anyone from Blossoms is listening, I bet you pull your finger out and reply back to me about the monitor gig as well. Come on. We all went for it.
I mean, that was a dangerous move, putting that advert in the touring crew Facebook page.
100,000 applicants for that. Like everyone gigs for years just going, like, fuck it, I want to do it.
Even people who are monitor engineers be like, fuck it, it can't be that hard. I'll figure it out. It'll be 6 years before we do a gig anyway. I've got plenty of time.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, no, fucking fair play to them. And I really hope they do find someone, but...
if you're listening and you didn't know and you're a monitor engineer, there is a job going with Blossoms. They're after a monitor engineer.
If you want to add another... Did you see, actually, like the deadline of the applications was like end of June or something, and then it was just crossed out to being a week later? Because even on UK touring crew, I think about 100 people were like, yep, I'll do it.
Oh, mate, that inbox. Could you imagine just trying painful. To fucking manage that? Full-time job. No, thank you. Yeah. No, thank
you. Absolutely painful. Well, thank you for asking that horrific question. That was too difficult.
You're welcome.
But I do think, actually, I managed to mention everyone's episode in there, except for John's. John's was great. John Helps, actually. Big shout-out to John Helps. I loved doing that.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I mean, that episode, actually, I was sick as a dog. I think my painkillers kicked in about 45 minutes into it. And then I think I was just like, ooh, let's talk.
I feel like the good thing is when we're moving forward to season two, going to, you know, 10 episode season and every 2 weeks release schedule, it's going to be easier to remember all the details in this, because like, not that like we didn't have any bad episodes with anyone. We had some, like all of our guests were fucking amazing. But there's sometimes like I can't remember exactly what we've spoken about. It's just in the same way that like, you know, someone says, "Oh, you've been to that venue," and like, I don't know, think so. Probably. And then you can look at a picture and be like, "Oh yeah, I remember that."
Yeah.
In that same way, it would be nice to have them spaced out a little bit so that, you know, we can really sort of delve into the detail, I guess, a little bit.
Also, and just like really take it all on board. Like I've definitely. We've been putting them out so quickly that we've been... I think I listened to them about 5 weeks afterwards. So no wonder other people can't keep up with it.
It's only like during the edit, that's really the only time I ever listen to it, just to make sure that it's all good. And then, that's it. But then it goes out.
Then I love listening to it. And then I just text you, Liam, and go, I fucking love you, brah.
I do enjoy that. I do enjoy that. Should we do... a little taster, a few questions on what we're going to be looking at for the next season. What do you reckon?
Yeah, let's do it.
Talking Touring 10.
Let's just bounce them. Let's do it quick. So you ask me one, and I've got to do quick fire, and then I'll ask you one quick fire, like maybe a little bit of explanation. But first thing that comes to your head. So I'm going to go with it. You ready? Festival support or headline show?
Headline, because I like to be the fucking big boss dog.
Good boy.
You know? I mean, it's quite nice doing a festival, especially if you're early on. It's always good because you get in and out. It's nice doing a support tour because it's, you know, it's early evenings, but nothing beats a bit of power.
Yeah. Listen to me.
Yeah. Don't put that fireplace there. Yeah. I'm the tour manager.
Why not, boss? Yeah, that's right, boss.
Van or bus for a tour? What do you reckon?
Bus every time.
Bus.
Being a passenger in a van is the worst in the world. Doing a van tour and being the driver, not too bothered about it if the schedule's not too brutal. But I am in no rush to do those drives from fucking Paris to Hamburg and a show either side. Like, no, I just don't want to do it.
Oh, I'm totally over that. Yeah, no, thank you.
I'll do it if I have to, but I don't want to. But there is something magical I've been spoke about with Tarrant. Like, it's You do the bus tour and you all kind of just fuck off to your own space when you can. But in a bus, you don't have... In a van, you have to have all those jokes together. You are literally with each other all the fucking time. Like, my best touring memories are definitely from van tour.
Absolutely. Yeah, you definitely have the most jokes on a van tour, don't you? You have some, like... I like a good after-show bus party from time to time. That's always a good laugh.
Yeah.
Well, when, you know, there's odd nights where everyone's in the mood for a little bit of red wine or something and a bit of dancing downstairs in the bottom lounge. But they're few and far between.
Yeah, absolutely. Must-have rider item, Liam.
I was thinking about this, and it's quite a difficult one for me.
Mm-hmm.
I always carry a Nutribullet on tour.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably actually another good item that I would say I'd like to take on tour with me.
Yeah.
So it's hard to pin down like one specific thing. So I'm going to say fruit and veg as a must-have rider item.
I'm with you on that. I was going to say hummus. I can't, even as a meat eater, hummus is just a safe bet. Like hummus and bread, hummus and crisps, hummus with anything. You can always dip something in hummus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always something to dip in hummus.
Yeah,
it's very true. That's very true. Although I am kind of sick of hummus because it's on every single fucking rider all the time.
Actually, I've got two
even
pots.
Even if you don't ask for it.
Yeah, I've got two puts of hummus downstairs in the fridge, just sat there doing nothing, going off, just so it feels like tour.
This is going to be my favourite question to ask people. Dream day off. Tell me about it.
Honestly, long walk.
Okay, wonderful. Straight in. Love it. Long walk.
Well, I was going to say, so for me, it's... so one of my favourite ones in Grenoble, like you go for a long walk, you go up to a mountain, or you take a car up a mountain and you get pissed up there, and then you walk down, or you get a train down or a taxi, and you're in bed for a decent time, but go somewhere, experience something, have a couple of drinks, really relax, like hang out with your buddies, and then go to bed early. That's it for me.
I think we're going to get some very interesting answers from people, depending on the tours that we do, on the guests that we have on the...
One of the other ones that I think is going to be really good is beat the airport. What is your way to survive the airport?
My favourite survive the airport kind of like trick or hack, which is always... I probably might get in a bit of trouble for saying it, I guess, but I think it's something that everyone fucking does. When you're weighing your items at the check-in counter...
Very naughty.
Very, very naughty.
Yep.
When you're weighing your items at the check-in counter, what I like to do sometimes, when you know you've got something or a couple of items that are definitely over 32 or over 23, or whatever the luggage allowance is for your particular airline or your status with that airline, if you're not able to kind of charm the desk person with a bit of conversation straight off the bat, what I like to do is have either myself or another person have a conversation with the check-in clerk, just chatting to them, keeping them focused on looking at the number on the scales and nothing else. And then the other person, while you're stood there, just lift it up a little bit so that it stays underneath the luggage allowance.
It's so fucking naughty, treat. But we all do it, I swear.
It works a treat. And if you get caught, they're like, oh, you need to put it down. You're like, oh, sorry, I didn't realise it was on my leg. Sorry.
No problem, sorry. That wasn't intentional, I do promise.
But 95% of the time, it works every time.
There we go. Fucking love it. Oh, brilliant. What's the other ones we've got?
So that's a good one. I think there'll be some good answers out of that as well. Because it's like so much talk about to do in an airport.
Yeah.
Favourite country? What's your favourite country to tour in?
Mine has to be Germany. I love touring in Germany.
I would completely agree.
Like, I've been all around the world and, like, it's wonderful. But the punk scene in Germany is just phenomenal. And I'm very lucky I get to work with XYZ Touring a lot in Germany, and they look after, like, us and Anti-Flag so well. And Destiny Touring's in Berlin, like, all of these great agencies and collectives of fucking great people putting on massive shows. And it's just, I love Germany. Germany's the one.
I would agree with that. Germany is a fantastic place. Like, again, been all over the world quite a few times, but, you know, I've always been back to Germany.
Yeah.
It's the place I probably visited the most, and it's the place that I visited the most in my own time as well, outside of touring. It's where I've always gone back to for, like, a holiday or something, or for a city break. I've always gone there.
I liked it so much, great. I lived there.
That's true. Fuck, I forgot you lived in Germany for a bit. That's weird.
Yeah, man.
And it wasn't that long ago either.
No. I've actually been back a year.
That's insane.
Over a year now.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it was,
Came back on March the 12th. Mental. March the 12th, and then we went into lockdown on March the 21st. Fucking well lucky.
Yeah, you did. You got here right fucking time. Yeah.
Another one that I think is going to give us some great stories will be tell us about a border story.
This is going to be a good one, yeah, definitely.
We were talking about that, I think a lot of people in America will have done the Canadian border. A lot of people in Europe will have done the Serbian border.
Don't believe what they tell you about Canadians. Especially at the border. Like, Canadians inside Canada, wonderful human beings. Canadians who work on the border are fucking scum. They're horrible people. They're so fucking rude and mean and just horrible to people. But my favourite border experience is going into Serbia with no carne in an English vehicle with five Icelandic men, and they're just very, very confused about what we're doing there. And essentially, I mean, I'd be fine, I'd probably get away with it, trading entrance to the fucking country for cigarettes was essentially what happened, you know. That's
I told you about the time I was
you got Serbian denied border. Didn't you? Fucking hours.
Yeah, we got turned around and everything. The only thing that got us through was like high fiving a man with an Iron Maiden t-shirt.
It's insane. Yeah. Absolutely insane. I've got so many of just having arguments with people at borders over carnets and things, but I mean, there's going to be some very interesting ones, particularly from, I think, from the Americans. I'll have a good chat about the US-Canada one. And then I think with some tour managers over in Europe as well, we'll have some fantastic stories about crossing into weird places in Europe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, mate, I'm super excited for Series 2. I think it's going to be fucking awesome.
It's going to be great.
Should we let people know what our first guests or who our first guest will be?
No, let's keep it a surprise. Bugger,
man. I want to tell them.
No, just tickle it. Tickle. Little tease.
We've got a great first guest. In fact, everyone in Series 2 is as good as the people in Series 1. You lucky people.
Having said that, though, if you have someone that you have burning questions for and you really want to hear us talk to them, fucking send us a message. We'll figure it out. We'll try and talk to them.
Well, that's the other thing that I've realised with Talking Touring is the reach that we actually have to get people is shocking. I can't believe that. I'm still working on getting Hayley Williams on, and it's going to happen, even though she does like two interviews a year.
That would be the absolute dream. I've got so many questions for her.
I just want to be like, how?
Number one.
Are you that awesome?
Why are you so good?
Yeah.
Number two. How dare you be so good?
Yeah. In lockdown, I was watching her doing all these like acoustic versions of her songs, and I was just like, you wizard. You actual
so fucking
wizard.
Talented. It's beautiful. Yeah. Her voice is just incredible. She's an amazing musician.
Yeah.
Her career has been fucking phenomenal. It'd be, she'd be an
fucking
incredible to guest
if
talent.
She comes on, we're just going to be there like going, oh, you're so good. Ooh, love me. Yeah, we'll never release that episode. It'll be so bloody embarrassing.
Yeah, definitely. But amazing. I think we could probably leave that there. What do you reckon, Craig?
Perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and everybody out there, thank you for joining us for Season 1 of Talking Touring, and we cannot wait to see you for Season 2.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to